Good evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome all to the service of union and introduction. Welcome guests, welcome members of the former congregations, members of the local community, members of the Presbytery of Forth Valley and Clydesdale, and anyone amongst us and online, all are welcome in this place. My name is Scott Burton, and I stand here in my capacity as moderator of the Presbytery. I'm also the minister of the Upper Braes Parish Church in Falkirk, and it is a privilege for me to take part in this occasion tonight. We gather to publicly and collectively mark the union of Carnwath, Carstairs and Forth Church of Scotland and the introduction of the Reverend Sumit Harrison, and we pray our time together will encourage and equip us all for our calling in the Lord. Our service could be a little longer than we might be used to, but there's meaning behind each part, and we hope one and all will sense the significance of this time together. Should you need to leave the sanctuary because you feel a little warm or for comfort, then please feel free to do so. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." So we gather as Christ's church, not built on our own strength, nor held together by our own wisdom, but founded on Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, the living head of his people. And as one body, called by his grace and sustained by his love, let us offer to God the worship of grateful hearts and lives made ready for his service. Let us worship God as we begin with our opening hymn, "The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord."
Jesus Christ. Let's approach God together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, great and living God, we stand tonight on the threshold of something new, a new chapter in the lives of so many in our communities, a new chapter in the life of three churches coming together as one. Like with so many things, what this chapter will hold is a mystery to us. This union is something that we as church members, as a presbytery, in our own strength are unable to make a success of. And that is why at the start of this service, we acknowledge you, Almighty God, King of your church. You, Lord God, love this, your world, so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that the world and the people in it might not perish, but have everlasting life. You love the world so much that you also gave your church, your bride, that through her your redeeming love might be on full display. That as you deal with us and through us, your church, in mercy and in grace, others might see and hear the good news of Jesus. And by believing in him, they might come and find life, and life in all its fullness. We confess, however, that we have not been the church that you have wanted us to be. We have often only played at being church. We have made our identity in Christ only a pastime. We have kept good news to ourselves. We have been divisive and insular. We have not been transparent to let the light of Jesus shine through us. We have put other things, our ways of doing things, our preferences, our comfort, ourselves at the center, and we have pushed you out of the way. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and we repent. Have mercy on us according to your great love. Lord our God, in our sin we have avoided your call. Our love for you has been like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Have mercy on us. Deliver us from judgment. Bind up our wounds and revive us. Lord, revive your church again. Come, Lord, now by your Holy Spirit. Come and fill us. Inspire our worship. Inspire our dreams and visions for what your church can and will be with you, Jesus, at the center of all we do. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. Isaiah is going to come and bring us our reading this evening. Isaiah.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 10, a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Humble service in the body of Christ. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Isaiah. Can we pray as we turn to reflect on God's word? Come, Holy Spirit, and inspire my words and all our thoughts, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been around for any length of time in the Church of Scotland, you will have experienced presbytery plans. Most of the plans have been about managing decline in the church. In our plans, we have united more and more churches, adding more and more parishes together, and the numbers in the church in terms of people and resources just keep getting fewer and fewer. As a result, fewer and fewer people have a lot more work to do. What we do here tonight is a result of the latest presbytery plan. There is a difference, however. This most recent presbytery plan has been deemed by us, by the presbytery, as a mission plan. Now, the cynical amongst us will say that this is just a matter of semantics. What we are experiencing is, in fact, no different than all the other plans to manage decline. But I think mission is a great word. And the fact that it is put in front of our latest presbytery plan gives me a lot of hope. Mission. That isn't a word that we have heard a lot in the Church of Scotland, but it was the core of what Jesus was about when he established his church. Over the years leading to the Presbytery Mission Plan, there's been a lot of talk about what the church's mission is. Remember those five marks of mission? I'm not going to ask you to recite them. But searching through Scripture, I can find only one mission that Jesus ever gave to his church. It is one mission, but it is twofold. It's there in Matthew 28. Can we go on to the, there we go. The church's twofold mission given by Jesus is to be disciples and to make disciples. To be followers of Jesus and to help others to be followers of Jesus by baptizing them and teaching them to obey Christ's commands. Simple. Simple? No, not so simple, given the context in which we find ourselves. Now let's consider for a moment the context of our mission today. Do you know what a nun is? No, not that kind of nun. But N-O-N-E, not N-U-N. Nun is a term that has arisen from surveys of people about their religious beliefs. When asked the question, to which religious denomination do you belong? The nuns are the people who would tick the box, none. Since the 1960s, this has been a growing phenomenon. The nuns category includes those who say that they are atheist and agnostics, but also, interestingly, it includes a much larger group of people who say they believe in God, or would even say that they are Christians, but who have no affiliation to any religious organization or church. They say they are spiritual, but not religious. If you were to ask someone in the nuns category why they don't belong to a church, they would more often than not respond that they do not like organized religion. They don't like it because they observe that organized religion has done some very nasty things over the centuries, from crashing planes into the Twin Towers to being a major force in electing Donald Trump, and much worse things besides. You probably know a nun or two, or you probably, if the statistics are correct, know many nuns. Who knows, you yourself may be a nun. The reason nuns give for not being affiliated, it makes certain sense. Religion has caused a lot of harm. I have a lot of sympathy with the nuns' views. But there are problems associated with being a nun. For one thing, being a nun just doesn't work. Listen to what the Pew Research Survey says. By a variety of measures, religious nuns are less civically engaged and socially connected than people who identify with a religion. On average, they are less likely to vote, less likely to have volunteered lately, less satisfied with their local communities, and less satisfied with their social lives. Nuns who say they are spiritual but not religious, or Christian and yet not part of any church, want to do life better, like all of us. They hope that their spirituality, their faith, will make them better adjusted, happier, healthier. They also hope to be of help to the world around them. But, according to the statistic, that's just not happening. The thing is, despite our best intentions to achieve anything on our own, we need others. What is it they say? No man is an island. Being spiritual, wanting to do life better, wanting to be better adjusted on the one hand, and wanting to be of use to the world on the other, but not being connected to a group of people, to a mosque or a synagogue or a church, doesn't bear much fruit. In our present context, there are plenty of non-Christian nuns, but there are also Christian nuns, don't you know? There are people who say they are Christians and yet don't want to really practice their religion, and or don't join or get stuck into their local church. Some may even be members, but who just do the bare minimum. They might send their envelopes once a quarter via an elder, or they might even show up for communion once in a blue moon. Again, they might have good reasons. They don't like the way the church is run. They don't care for some of the policies of the wider denomination. Maybe they think that the church doesn't seem to be doing much, and they want a church that will do more. Some of their reasons, however, are a bit less reasonable. They don't like the music. What's required of them just doesn't fit into their lifestyles. Sunday morning at 11:15 is an awkward time for them, and it's about to get even more awkward in this union as we have to juggle between different services around different Sundays in different buildings at different times. Walking in the hills or an outing to the beach is much more preferable than going to church for a lot of people these days. Problem is, if you are a self-confessed Christian, one who acknowledges Jesus as Lord, being a nun, being unaffiliated or unengaged with your local church, goes clearly against the teaching of Jesus and of the New Testament. I like the illustration I learned as a child. It goes like this: a Christian unconnected, not engaging with their local church, is like a coal that is taken out of the fire. It will soon grow cold. But in the fire with other coals, it will burn white hot for much, much longer. And that's not just a nice illustration, it's true. I've seen lone Christians drop off the radar and lose their faith over and over again. It turns out that the church is the context in which God has always meant for disciples to grow and learn and live. Disciples need the church. Without the church, a solitary disciple soon falls away. Problem is, our culture is all about the solitary individual. It's all about my opinion, my advancement, my identity, my fulfillment. To a certain extent, our emphasis on the individual is good. It has been good for us. Unlike people of other times and in other places, even today, we are aware of the value and the rights of individuals, and that is great. But we tend to see things only from an individual perspective, and we miss out on seeing so much more. We often miss out on seeing the value of community and what community can actually do for us as individuals. The New Testament is full of passages that encourage us to be disciples within the context of community, within the context of the church. Our passage this evening is just one of those passages, albeit an important one. I never realized until recently that this passage that I've known since I was so high and memorized when I was in Sunday school is not addressed to me as an individual reading my Bible on my own, at least not in the first instance. You can't see it with the English, but the pronouns you and your in the original Greek are all plural, addressing more than one person, addressing the whole church. In Bigger, where I'm the minister, a number of months ago, we engaged in a study of the whole book of Romans. We didn't, however, approach our study in the traditional manner, taking our lead from a scholar named Scott McKnight. We didn't start with the first chapter and the first verse, but we read Romans backwards. We started with chapter 16, and that revolutionized our thinking. Chapter 16 sets the tone for the whole rest of the letter. In chapter 16, we get a picture of the church that Paul was writing to. There were poor people and rich people. There were men and there were women. There were men and women apostles. There were slaves and there were masters. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. There were black people and there were white people. This passage that we're looking at tonight encourages those folks, disparate and different as they were, to come together as one sacrifice. It is this sacrifice that pleases God, according to the Apostle Paul. It is this being with Jesus and being together, living together, loving one another, working with each other, that is true and proper worship, according to the Apostle Paul. It is in the crucible of the church where we, base metal though we are made into God's pure gold of discipleship. As the Spirit of God, God's presence among us, works in us and works between us. It's when we come together, despite all our differences, united around the fact that we have one Lord, as we obey Him and recognize in each other different gifts and different skills, all given by that one Lord. It's then that we achieve our calling, that we grow in our own confidence and well-being, and we are made able to make an impact on our wider world, making disciples of others. What does Jesus say? This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love that you have for each other. Disciples show their love by being part of and loving the fellowship of other disciples, the church. Now, there are loads of images in the New Testament that speak of what the church is. There's sheep. Sheep aren't a flock without a shepherd. Jesus is our great and good shepherd. But you know, with only a shepherd and one sheep, it still isn't a flock. To be a flock, you need the shepherd and you need other sheep. Then there's the picture of the building stones. It isn't a building that God wants unless it's built on a foundation. Jesus is the foundation, but likewise, it isn't a building unless it's more than just a foundation and one stone. That's just a ruin. To be God's building where God is worshipped, we need a whole lot of stones, all fit together on that one foundation. And then there's the image of the body that Paul refers to here in Romans 12 and again in 1 Corinthians 12. You can't have a body without a head. And of course, Jesus is the head of the church. But equally, you can't have a body with only a head and one foot. You need all the other parts of the body too. To be effective Christians, to be the disciples that Jesus wants us to be, we need the church, and we need to be engaged in the church. Now, there are different degrees with which people engage with the church, but the one way, the tried and true way, that can and will help us all be disciples, we call membership. And I believe our concept of membership in the Church of Scotland is one of our greatest redeeming features. Would that we made more of it in the Church of Scotland. Now, loads of people belong to the church. Our children belong to the church. They are a beloved part of the family here. There are others who come and go whom we also love and welcome as part of our family. There are those who volunteer with projects that we do, who support our seasonal festivities, and we love and appreciate them too. But membership is another level. Membership of the church is something that we do intentionally. What is membership? Well, it's all those images that we've talked about already. It's being a sheep in the flock, a stone in the building, and a part of the body. Membership is, as an adult, intentionally playing one's part in that flock, that building, that body. Membership is making a decision to play your part. And it starts with affirming that Jesus is your Lord, that He is your shepherd, that He is the foundation on which your life, together with others, is built, that He is the head of the body of which you are a part. And then membership is those four other commitments and promises we make when we become members, to grow in faith and understanding, to gather with God's people on a regular basis for worship and learning and prayer, to give of your time and your talents and money, and to go in service and witness to the Lordship of Jesus near and far as the Lord leads you together with God's people. Let's not be deluded, however. Being a member of a church family is often a delight, but it is also sometimes very hard. Paul talks in our passage about sacrifice. It is painful to accommodate and depend on others. Sacrifices are painful. Being a member of a church is sometimes hard because, to be honest, no church is perfect. And that's because none of us is perfect. I meet a lot of believing people who refuse to join a church because they haven't found the perfect one yet. And when they tell me this, I have to restrain myself from replying. I feel like saying, if you find the perfect church, please, whatever you do, don't join it, because with that attitude of yours, you are sure to destroy that perfect church. No, no church is perfect because we are not perfect. The church is a place for broken people. We come here for healing. We come to Jesus, the Lord of the church, for healing. To be honest, I find being part of this denomination, the Church of Scotland, a real challenge these days. The Church of Scotland certainly is not perfect. But I take seriously the scriptures that tell me that I cannot be a faithful disciple without being part of a local church. And so I am part of my local church in Biggar. And we, as a local church, happen to be part of the Church of Scotland. And we are flawed, both locally and denominationally. But thank God for His grace and mercy towards us. If you're here this evening and you haven't yet joined this church, this new church, please do come and see Harrison or any of the other elders afterwards, and they would be happy to have a conversation with you. But if you are a member, can I plead with you to think about what your membership means, even and especially with the challenges and the joys that are up ahead of you in this union. May God bless you all individually, but even more importantly, together, as Carnwath, Carstairs, and Forth Church of Scotland. We sing together in response, and we ask God to take our lives and let them be that sacrifice that pleases God. Take my life and let it be. Let's stand and sing together.
if you are able. And let us affirm our shared faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed as found in your order of service, and invite you to say the words in bold. Do you believe in God who made you and loves you?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit and the continuing gift of our salvation?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please do be seated. We hear now the narrative of events which have led to our gathering this night, and Fiona, our Presbytery Clerk, will lead us through that.
The charge of 4th St Paul's became vacant on the 27th of August 2021 upon the demission of the Reverend Elspeth MacLean. The congregations of Carnwarth, Carstairs and 4th St Paul's entered into conversations with a view to implementing the approved Presbytery Mission Plan. A draft basis of union to form Carnwarth, Carstairs and 4th Church of Scotland, having been approved by the respective Kirk Sessions, the Faith Action Programme Leadership Team and the congregations, was approved by Presbytery under powers and noted at the Presbytery meeting on the 7th of February 2026. The Presbytery of Forth Valley and Clydesdale approved that the congregations be united on the 1st of June 2026 and that the service of union would be held on this evening, the 3rd of June 2026. And so Presbytery accordingly proceeds to unite the congregations Carnwarth, Carstairs and 4th St Paul's to form Carnwarth, Carstairs and 4th Church of Scotland, and to introduce the Reverend Sumit Harrison as Minister of the Charge, seeking God's blessing on this union, congregation and minister and the parish that they serve.
Let us come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our faithful and loving God, we thank you for the worship and witness of these congregations of Carnwarth, Carstairs and 4th St Paul's, and for those who have gone before us, women and men who offered themselves in your service, who passed on the faith, sustained the life of your people, and made known among us the mercy and grace of Christ. We thank you that through the years, across generations, you have been at work among your church, renewing minds, shaping lives, and building up the body of Christ through gifts faithfully offered, often quietly, unseen, yet always known to you. For all who served you faithfully in these places, using the gifts you entrusted to them, we give you thanks. For those who taught, encouraged, led, helped, gave generously, showed mercy, and bore witness to Christ, we give you thanks. For all who prayed faithfully, visited the lonely, comforted the grieving, strengthened the weary, and sought to honor one another above themselves, we give you thanks. For all who discovered here the love of Christ made visible in sincere love, patient service, joyful hope and faithful beloving, whose lives were steadied in trial, renewed in hope, and rooted more deeply in faith, we give you thanks. Lord, at times the journey to this point has not been easy. There have been moments of uncertainty, sorrow, change, and loss, and there remain still questions about the future. Yet we thank you, Lord, that we do not face this new chapter alone. For in you, though many, we are one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And so tonight, in view of your mercy, not trusting in ourselves, but offering ourselves afresh to you, we commit this new chapter to your keeping and care by your Spirit. Do not let us be conformed to patterns of fear, weariness, or self-reliance, but transform us by the renewing of our minds, that we may discern your good, pleasing, and perfect will. For to you be glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, now and forever. Amen. Following the resolution of the Presbytery to approve the basis of union which took effect from the 1st of June 2026, we meet as Presbytery to seek the blessing of Almighty God on these congregations and parishes, and to publicly and collectively recognise this union within the wider bounds of the Church of Scotland, and to introduce the Reverend Sumit Harrison as minister of this union. Members of the congregations of Carnwath, Carstairs, and Forth St. Paul's, turning to your order of service and the question therein, having agreed to come together and be one congregation in Christ Jesus under the designation of Carnwath, Carstairs, and Forth Church of Scotland, do you pledge yourselves in the presence of God and depending on his help to be faithful to the covenant of unity, love, and peace into which you are now entering for the better service of Christ's kingdom and the glory of his name. Amen. Will you signify your assent by standing if you are able? To the glory of God the Father, who has called us by his grace. To the glory of God the Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. To the glory of God, the Holy Spirit, who enlightens, empowers, and sanctifies us, we consecrate this union in the unity of the faith, the communion of saints, in gratitude for the labors and sacrifice of our forebears, in loving remembrance of those who have finished their course, acknowledging that without us their work is not yet made complete. We dedicate ourselves to the worship of God and the service of his kingdom. Now, therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and Head of the Church, I declare you to be united in one congregation. Live in union with Christ Jesus as Lord. Be rooted in him, be built in him. Grow strong in the faith, and let your hearts overflow with thankfulness. Amen. Please do be seated for a moment at least. As we take a moment to respond to this union being marked and to the promises here made, let us sing together our next hymn. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Please do be seated. We come now to introduce the Reverend Sumit Harrison as Minister of the United Church of Carnwath, Carstairs and Forth Church of Scotland, and invite Sumit to come forward, please. Sumit, on the occasion of your induction to Carnwath, linked with Carstairs Parish Church of Scotland, you made solemn vows. And at the beginning of this new congregation, you are asked to reaffirm these now. Sumit, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess anew the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and Lord? Do you believe the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life? Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith expressed in the Apostles and Nicene Creeds? Do you confess the Catholic and Reformed faith of the Church as contained in its Book of Confessions and promise to be guided by the said book in your life and doctrine? Do you acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this Church to be agreeable to the Word of God, and do you promise to be subject in the Lord to this presbytery and to the general assembly of this church, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs? Do you promise to seek the peace and unity of this church, to uphold its doctrine, worship, government, and to cherish a spirit of love to all your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are not zeal for the glory of God, love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and a desire for the salvation of all people, so far as you know your own heart, your great motives and chief inducements to enter into this ministry? Do you engage in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to live a godly and circumspect life, and faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully to discharge the duties of your ministry, seeking in all things the advancement of the kingdom of God? And finally, do you accept and close with the call to be pastor of this charge and promise through grace to study to approve yourself a faithful minister of the gospel among this people? Sumit, you are now required to sign the appointed formula as a seal of the vows you have taken, and Fiona will read the words of the formula as you do so.
The words of the formula are as follows. I believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith expressed in the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. I promise to be guided in my life and doctrine by the Book of Confessions of this church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this church to be agreeable to the Word of God, and promise that I will submit thereto and concur therewith. I promise to observe the order of worship and the administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this church.
Let us pray for Sumit. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you call us in your mercy, and you sustain us by your power. Through every generation, your wisdom supplies our need. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the apostle and high priest of our faith, the shepherd of our souls, and the one foundation of your church. By his death and resurrection, he has overcome death, and having ascended into heaven, he has poured out his Spirit to equip all for ministry and build up the body of Christ. Keep your servant Sumit in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Renew his mind by your word, shape his heart by your mercy, and enable him to minister faithfully your word and sacraments, and share with wisdom in the government of your church. As he serves this united congregation, may he offer himself daily to you as a living sacrifice. May he lead with humility, love with sincerity, honor others above himself, and cherish the gifts you have placed within the whole body of Christ. May he be for all a source of strength and inspiration, that with him he may share in the ministry of Christ, bringing reconciliation, healing, justice, and hope through Jesus Christ. Give him joy in serving you, patience in affliction, faithfulness in prayer, and steadfast love for your people, until with all your saints you bring him to share in your eternal joy. Through Christ who died for us, rose again, and lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit,
one God now and forever. Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, and by the authority of this presbytery, I introduce you, Sumit Harrison, as Minister of Carnwath, Carnstairs, and Fourth Church of Scotland. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. In token of welcome and a sign of our ongoing support of you, our colleague and brother in Christ, I invite presbytery to offer Sumit the right hand of fellowship, and then any elders of the Kirk session to do so as well. Welcome, congratulations, and God's blessing be with you, brother. Presbytery, please come forward. And any elders, please do come forward. Please do. In congratulation and welcome, let one and all applaud. Let's put our hands together. I now invite the members and adherents of Carnwath, Carnstairs, and Fourth Church of Scotland to stand if you are able. Tonight marks not simply the joining of congregations or the beginning of a new ministry for Sumit, but a renewed calling to be the people of God together. Turning again to your order of service, I ask you three questions. Do you, the people of this congregation, in receiving Harrison, whom you have called to be your minister, offer him your welcome and promise him your encouragement and support? Do you now agree to share with your minister the responsibility to follow and serve Jesus Christ in this parish? Amen. And will you give of your time, talents, and money for the work of the church in the world? Amen. If you're able, please remain standing, and I'll invite Sumit back out front, please, brother. Let me address a few words to you first as we give you your charge. We, your brothers and sisters of presbytery, rejoice with you that through the love and wisdom of God, you have been called to minister in this place. We recognize this calling as God's gracious work, by which he gathers and sends servants for the work of Christ's body. I now charge you, in the name of the church, to be worthy of this calling. Remember always that you are first and foremost a child of your Heavenly Father. Love before you are useful, held before you are sent, and sustained before you are asked to serve. Ministry is not carried by your strength alone, nor secured by your wisdom, energy, or personality. It is carried by the God of peace, who has raised from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. So return again and again to the grace of God in Christ. Let your life be rooted in prayer, refreshed by Scripture, and renewed by the quiet work of the Holy Spirit. Be a faithful student of the Word, that what you read you may believe, what you believe you may practice, and what you practice you may teach with humility and joy. Tend carefully the life God has entrusted to you. Practice Sabbath and godly rhythms. Guard time for refreshment and time with family. Cherish your wife and children, knowing that faithfulness in these closest callings is not separate from your ministry, but part of your witness to Christ. For you are also a servant of Christ, and this will demand much of you. With a humble spirit and grateful heart, exercise the gifts God has given you among the people to whom you are now bound. Preach the word. Celebrate the sacraments. Be diligent in prayer and leadership. Walk with people in sorrow and rejoicing alike, welcoming stranger and seeking the lost. And so now hear these words of Scripture. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. To the people of Carnwath, Carstairs, and Forth Church of Scotland, the old has gone, the new is here. And with that, a renewed calling for you also are members of Christ in this united charge. For you are not spectators to the ministry of the church, nor merely inheritors of what others have built. You are the people of God in this place, called by grace, gathered in Christ, and sent in the power of the Spirit to be a witness to the gospel. So receive your minister with warmth, prayer, and encouragement. Support him in the ministry entrusted to him, not by placing every burden upon him, but by sharing together in the work of Christ. Pray for Sumit and for his family. Be generous in friendship, thoughtful in expectation, and respectful of the rhythms of family life. Encourage them not only to serve among you, but to flourish among you. And as you welcome him, welcome one another. The journey to this point has held change and many different feelings. So be patient with one another. Speak well of one another. Listen carefully. And let this congregation become a place where the weary are strengthened, the lonely are noticed, the young are nurtured, and the stranger finds a home. Never lose heart, for the future will not be secured by the human strength alone, but by the faithfulness of God, who has called you and who keeps his promises. So then hear the words of Scripture. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. Amen. Please do be seated. Sumit is going to lead us now through the next portion of our service as minister of the charge.
Dear all together, I invite us all to commit ourselves anew to God's service by saying together the words in bold in your order of service.
It is through Scripture that we are called to be Christ's body. Teach us faith so that we may be true to the word of God.
Can you read it again? Yes.
To read it again. It is through Scripture that we are called to be Christ's body.
Teach us the faith so that we may be true to the word of God.
Together, may we listen to the word of God.
In this sacrament, God has welcomed us into his family through water and the Holy Spirit. Renew us in our calling as servants of Christ in the world.
Together, may we live out our baptism as a loving community in Christ.
In celebrating Holy Communion, we know Christ present among us. Gather us round the table that we may be united as his body.
Together, may we celebrate the meal of the kingdom. Let's join our hearts in our prayer of dedication, and in the end, we'll join our hearts in Lord's Prayer as well. Holy and gracious God, Lord, we stand in your presence with gratitude and awe this evening. It is you. You are the one who calls us, the one who equips us, and the one who go before us into every place of ministry. Lord, today we dedicate this new chapter of service and ministry to you. You have led me and our session's elders and leaders to shepherd Carnwath and Castres so far. And now, by your wisdom and kindness, and with the help of all the elders and leaders, you extend this calling to include your people of Fort St. Paul's Church. Lord, we recognize your hand in this moment as you make us one. We honor your voice that still speaks, Lord, through various ways, but especially from your word. We trust your Spirit who bind us together in love. And we are looking forward for your Spirit to work in us, in our villages, in our community, in our hearts, through these churches. Lord Jesus, set apart our ministry for your glory alone. Shape this new session and our leaders into the servants after your own heart, so we can be faithful in prayers, gentle in speech, courageous in truth, and overflowing with compassion for everyone. Give us wisdom for every decision, strength for every burden, and the joy for every step of the journey. Bless our congregations we now serve, Lord. Knit our communities together in unity and in hope. Let this shared mission deepen our fellowship, and let shared worship draw us closer to you every day. May Carnwath, Castres, and Fort St. Paul's be placed where your love is served through your word. where your people are nurtured and your grace is seen in everyday life. Holy Spirit, fill this partnership with your power. Guard it from division. Grow it in generosity. Guide it into the future you have prepared for us. Let our ministry bear fruit. Fruit that lasts. Fruits that blesses. Fruit that points to Christ Jesus only. And now, God, we dedicate ourselves, our session elders and leaders, and we dedicate our congregations, and we dedicate our shared ministry into your faithful hands. Do more than we can ask. Do more than we can even imagine, Lord, for the sake of your kingdom and the honor of your name. In Jesus Christ's name, now we pray. And we also pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Friends, tonight we have marked endings and beginnings, memory and hope, thanksgiving and commitment. As we leave this place, we do so trusting not merely in plans or possibilities, but in the living God whose purposes are always greater than we can fully see. But please know you do not move forward alone. As a presbytery, we are here to walk with you and to hold you in our prayers. For I know in the four-way union we experience within the upper brace, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, that there can be life after change, even life after loss. Learning to be one congregation across three places of worship, or as we call them up the road, ministry centres, is a new thing. It takes some getting used to. But go forward with courage. Go forward together. Go forward in hope, because you are more than your buildings. You are the people of God, and the living God is with you. As we close, may I say what a privilege it has been to be part of a special occasion like this evening, and my thanks to all who have taken part and prepared for tonight, and especially prepared the refreshments which will be available in the hall. I'm sure you're more familiar than I am, but for presbytery's sake, the hall is to this side of the building, and so we can gather there afterwards. As the Bible leaves, members of presbytery will follow after first, that we might conclude our time in the small hall and then join in with fellowship afterwards with one and all. We're going to close with a hymn that is new for me and will be new for you, I believe. It is a hymn that speaks of the kingdom, that grows our vision beyond ourselves, because we are marking something new. And so let us learn a song that is new as well. And so we sing together, hear the call of the kingdom, lift your eyes to the King.
You're the God of the kingdom, lift your eyes.
go in service of the Lord, go in joy, go in unity, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you this day and forevermore.
Oh.